Welcome to the Word from the Ancient Path, stories and sermons for the journey, a channel of blessing and encouragement for beloved friends all over the world to hear and experience how God speaks and works through ordinary people with an extraordinary calling. You've come here for stories of bringing good news, connecting in Christ, and building the kingdom. And we'll bring you the Word of God declared through the pastors and missionaries of the ancient path, La Senda Antigua. And now, the Word from the Ancient Path with Pastor Kevin Job. Welcome, beloved listeners and friends. I am Pastor Kevin Job, and I'm very happy to be with you today. Our ministry was founded in 2011 by Pastors Jose Santiago and Yamile Cruz in Havaianas, Cuba. And my wife Tani and I serve with them as directors and chief connection makers for the U.S. branch of the ministry. And together we direct a great team of pastors, missionaries, advisors, and kingdom servants, all dedicated to planting churches and spreading the reach of the gospel. We hope to bless and inspire you here with sermons, reflections, and testimony of what God has done and is doing in and through us. Last week, we treated you to part one of three of a message from our founding pastor, Jose Santiago. It was called, Don't Go Changing God's Ethics. Venom isn't medicine. And citing Isaiah 5:20 and the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, he reminded us that we live in a time when what God calls good is being called bad and vice versa. And the church, though we are called to be salt and light, too often we will acquiesce to the changing moral codes of those who live apart from relationship with Christ. And so today, here is my translation of the second movement of this sermon. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. We need to be careful about doing what everyone seems to be doing. If they're doing what God says not to do, just don't do it. We got to understand this. Friends, we live in a very sad time. The other day, I was reminded of a saying, a phrase from a pastor named David Wilkerson. He said, we live in a sad time when we have to evangelize the evangelists. Can you imagine that? We have to preach the gospel to the very people of the church. Sometimes it's as though we got to wage a campaign. So say it with me. Whoa. How sad that we can spend so much time speaking the word of God. I can spend the entire year teaching the Word of God, saying what is good and what is bad. And sometimes the people, well, yet they persist in doing just exactly what the world is doing. It's just as this pastor said, how sad that we live in this time when we've got to evangelize the evangelists. To those who are supposedly going to be the light, those who are supposedly going to be the blazing torch of the lighthouse that reaches so far out to sea, those who are supposed to be the salt and the light in this place, sometimes we got to go backward with them and we got to pray that God will open a way for us to talk to them and preach the word to them. It's awful sad, isn't it? You know, there's a saying going around that goes like this. Satan said, I asked myself how human beings can affirm that they love God and then disobey him. And then they say that they hate me, however they follow me and they look to me. Let me say that again. I asked myself how human beings can affirm that they love God and then disobey him. And then they say that they hate me, however they follow me. And look to me. Some years ago, a preacher arrived in a city. I mean, this is a real story. It's a true testimony. And this man had moved to a new city. And soon after he got there, he got onto a bus, a local transit bus kind of thing that drove a route all over the city. And he got on board and he headed downtown. And when he reached his seat, he quickly realized that the driver had given him too much change when he purchased his ticket. He was given an extra dollar. And so for a minute, considering what to do, he thought to himself, you know, I could just forget it. It's only a dollar. I mean, just a buck. I mean, who's going to worry about this little bit of money? I mean, in any case, the bus company brings in a whole lot more than my little fare, and no one will notice or even care. I can just look at it as a gift from God. No problem. But he said when the bus arrived at his stop and he's about to get off, this preacher turned around and went up to the driver and gave him back the extra dollar. He said, hey, He gave me an extra dollar in my change, and the driver then smiling looked at him and said, you know, I knew you were the new preacher in town. I'd been thinking about going back to church because I haven't been there in a long time, but I wanted to see what you would do if I gave you an extra dollar. The preacher was stunned and suddenly felt very, very small, and he spent a minute looking inside himself, and he said to the Lord, my God, I was ready to sell Jesus out for a pittance, for a dollar. You know, people who sin and who love to sin persist again and again and believe that if they just, you know, so to speak, throw on a fresh shirt, all is well. People who sin knowing the difference between good and evil, they do it consciously, and afterwards they vainly just try to change their clothes. They put on a new blouse and think everything is just fine. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, look what it says here in the Word. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Look at what the writer is saying here in Hebrews. Around us, we have a great cloud of witnesses. Do you get that? When he says this, he means that each of us. Now, when he talks clouds, he means a multitude. A lot of people are all around you and looking at you. The witnesses are watching. So what do we do? What do you say? What are you going to do? How will you conduct yourself? How you live out your life on the good days, and how are you going to live on the bad days? What are you going to do on those days when everything feels like it's a gift, right? And even more, how are you going to choose to live on those days when it feels like someone could take you down with a poke of a finger? I remember several years ago in our previous church, La Capilla. One day I was out front of the church doing some work with one of the youth, and he and I were cleaning the front door and the facade of the church when a pretty young woman with a beautiful form walked by on the street. And he turned to me and he says, I feel like I'm going to pee my pants when that girl walks by the front of the church. Church, the people are watching. Like the author of Hebrews says, there's a great cloud of witnesses all around you, and you must at least understand that they're watching. I mean, personally, I'm not that guy who just goes up to people, not the guy who starts telling people, listen to me now, listen well, listen, church, you got to listen. I just don't walk up to people and tell them they need to get to church, say you should be at church, etc., etc., etc. No. I mean, I like to talk to people, and maybe I'll share my testimony with them a bit and maybe form a relationship, and then maybe people will be able to see in me what I want to tell them. I mean, I talk to people too. I do speak to them. I tell them that Christ loves them, that Jesus is the solution and the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. But the point in Hebrews is there are huge numbers of witnesses all around us. And because of that, it's like the author says, we need to throw off everything that hinders. That is, throw off everything that weighs us down. When we talk about throwing things off, you know what this means, right? When we talk about throwing things off, it means drop it, all of it. Get rid of all the weight. And what else does he say, church? Yeah, the sin that easily entangles us. The sin that entangles us. We've got to learn to drop it once and for all. All of the weight. What is that weight? Well, that weight is what keeps us from our walk with Christ. It's what keeps us from leading. It's what keeps us from reaching maybe a little closer to the goal and from drawing closer to Christ. It's funny how we want to walk sometimes. We want to walk in Christ, but we want to carry the baggage of the world with us. Sometimes the people of God want to come, and they want to approach the most holy place and come into the presence of God, but we still want to walk up to the Lord carrying the baggage of the rest of the world. And for this reason, the Word tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, Jesus says, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. So is the entrance to the most holy place wide or narrow? I mean, which one? Yeah, when you come through a narrow gate, you can't come hauling a whole lot of things from outside. You understand? Remember again what the author of Hebrews tells us. We have a great cloud of witnesses, a huge crowd looking on at us. So we got to throw off all that hinders and the sin that entangles us. We're going to take a moment for a short break. Stay with us for more on The Ancient Path. Our greatest hope is to carry the light of the kingdom of God into places where it is most needed. to see people set free from what holds them captive, and to offer salvation in Christ to people lost in the darkness. We want to live as oaks of righteousness, as the scripture says, planted to display God's splendor. Our ministry is built on connections in Christ, and our financial foundation depends on the regular partnership of beloved friends such as you. If you'd be interested in being a Covenant financial partner or just simply contribute to the work of the ministry, I invite you to visit our website, ancientpathministries.org. Check out the Church in Action and see how you can be a part of bringing good news, connecting in Christ, and building the kingdom. And we are back. Church, there is a call on us today. It is a call to holiness, to set ourselves apart for the Lord and remove ourselves once and for all from sin. You remember, what was the message that John the Baptist delivered to the people in the Judean wilderness before the start of Jesus' ministry? What was John's message? What was it that John said to the people? You remember? He said, repent and produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I've repented, but I still must bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The fruit of my life has to say that I have changed, that I have accepted Christ. My fruit must speak, and it's got to say that I'm on God's team. Now listen, I'm not saying that all of a sudden I'm some kind of little saint, right, and that you don't have anything. Nah, that's not it. Remember, he who began a good work in you will carry it on until when? That's right. Until the day of the coming of Christ. It's a process, right? Say it with me. Process. God's work is not complete in any of us yet. But it's no longer about looking backwards. Now it's about reaching forward. In this process, we are rising, not descending. We're reaching for more, not losing ground. And God is calling us to repentance in this moment and to bear the fruit that is worthy of it. So, beloved brothers and sisters, we're already Christians. We're the Church of Jesus Christ, and we're living in times that Jesus told us about. Jesus told us that when the end times came, he said it would be like the time of Noah. Remember what happened in Noah's day? I mean, why did God have to destroy all humanity in the flood? Why was that? Because of what? Because of humanity's blessing to God, or because of their sin? Yeah, it was sin, of course. And difficult times are coming, says Jesus, like the days of Noah, like the deluge of rain. The scripture tells us that people were eating and marrying and giving their daughters to marry right up to the day when Noah went into the ark. And then the door closed. When Noah boarded the ark, he went in it with his family, and the Lord shut him in. This is what the word literally says. It doesn't say that Noah shut the door. It says, and then the Lord shut him in. Right now, the doors of the church are wide open. The doors of heaven are open in this moment in time. And the arms of Jesus are wide open right now. In this moment, the call of God is to come back to him. The call of Jesus is to come back to God. The call of Jesus to us is, church, go and sanctify yourself. Church, all over the world, do this. And the arms of Christ are open wide. But the day will arrive, the day of the coming of Christ, and the gates are going to close. And the day when the gate is closed, although now you want to enter, just like in the day of the deluge, when the people screamed, when Noah's friends who laughed at him screamed at the door of the ark and begged him to let them come aboard. But it wasn't Noah who had the keys to the door. The door was shut by God. This is why the scripture tells us to seek God while he can be found, to call on him while he is near. So they call good evil and they call evil good. You know, it's curious just how our natural senses, how they can keep on accommodating the shifting of the wind. Human beings have the most remarkably unstable sensibilities when the wind is blowing. Let me give you a few examples. Let's say you go to work on a pig farm, right? And on the first day, the smell is unbearable. And you're saying, I can't deal with this. What in the world is this awful stench? How in the world can pigs smell this bad? But the days go passing by. And a few days in, you say, it's not all that bad. 3 weeks later, you say, okay. And you figure you can tolerate the stench. You say, it's a little better when I try not to breathe it, and at least I don't smell like that. Yeah, but the people around you know that you do smell like that. You stink. But now for you, it's normal. You've adapted to it. It's the same way if you work in a factory. You know, first the machinery is really, really loud and it annoys the snot out of you. But by a month in, it just seems normal. Or let's say you move to a place where everything is dirty and deteriorated and falling apart. And you can become conditioned to start to think of all of that as normal. Or on the flip side of that, if you got a chance to go up from our little town here to the beach resort at Baradero or tour old Habana, you're going to be wowed. You're going to be stunned. You're going to look at these buildings. You know, check out the streets. But if you spend a lot of time in either of those places, your senses would become accustomed to them. And it would be what feels normal to you. And this, friends, is why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, as recorded in the book of Romans in the 12th chapter. I want you to look it up. Verse 2, Paul says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Right? It's like he's saying, don't be conformed to the steaming odor of the pigs. Don't be conformed to the noise of this world. Don't be conformed to the shiny things, right? Don't be conformed to these times. Instead of being conformed to these times, be transformed. Wow. And by what mechanism? By the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to test and know what is God's will. It's pleasing. And it's perfect. Paul said this to the Romans. Don't be conformed to these days. Don't let the culture of the era tell you what is good and what is evil. He said, be transformed by the renovation of our understanding. And then the Holy Spirit can confront these things, right? We will then be able to search out God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul tells this to the Roman church and he says, don't let them make you conform to what the world calls good and what the world calls bad. Don't just fall in line and get into the pattern that the world says you should be in. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how am I going to know if what I'm doing is what is good and if I'm walking on the right path? How do I know if I'm walking down the path of the world? How am I going to know if I'm speaking in a way that honors God? I mean, you know, Pastor, the way we talk, you know, it's in style. That's what they tell me. That's what they say to me. And I think that's our job as church, to be in style. So how are they going to look at us then? Think about it. When I'm talking, what does it say to the world? You know, sometimes we hear about pastors that use foul language, curse all the time. Friends, let me be clear. This is wrong. I know the world talks like that and says that it's good, but we, church, we have to identify ourselves in such a way that people can see that the better way is not that way. Be careful. Be careful when the salt loses its flavor. Be careful when we stop being light. So the next question is, what pattern should I follow going forward? What is my point of reference? You hear that? What is my point of reference? To what am I going to compare myself? And to what will you compare yourself? Even Moses, as the word tells us, when Moses went to build the tabernacle in the desert, God gave him clear instructions so that it would follow the model that God had envisioned in heaven. Moses went to build a dwelling place for the presence of God, the place where the Ark of the Covenant would be housed, and where he himself would go to minister in the very presence of the Lord. So what did God have to say about its construction? God didn't say, okay, Moses, you know, go ahead, build it how you think it should be, or decorate it to your liking, make sure, you know, it's something you like. No. God said, listen, you're going to build my tabernacle conforming to a design that came from heaven. How great is it when we allow ourselves to be guided in all of our lives and we'll say to God, Lord, what's your design for me? What is the purpose you have for me? Lord, what's the path you have marked out for me? How is it that you want me to walk on and live out my life? When we do this, my beloved brothers and sisters, our lives will be marked by the flow of God's blessing. And there you have part two of Pastor Jose's message on the everlasting truth of the Word of God and our calling as His church to impact the world for the kingdom by standing apart from the sin of our age and showing the multitude who watch us that there is a better way. A better way for today and for always. And so, beloved friends, that brings us to the close of today's episode. I want to thank you again for joining us. Be sure you check out our website, ancientpathministries.org. Like and follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram, at Ancient Path Ministries. This is Pastor Kevin Job for Ancient Path Ministries, La Iglesia Volviendo a la Senda Antigua. We look forward to seeing you next time. Que Dios te bendiga mucho. Go be the church.